If you would turn in your Bibles at this time to Colossians chapter 3, we will be reading verses 1 through 17. Colossians chapter 3. Hear the word of God. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As you already know, 2019 is over. 2020 is here, and we are starting a new decade along with a new year. And whenever there is a major calendar change, such as the beginning of the year, many people take a moment to reflect on the past year, and also to think about the new year. And you may have all kinds of plans for this coming year. You may have some trips planned, a vacation planned. You may have some studies that you want to complete. You want to finish your grade schoolwork. You may be planning for your lawn or your garden or your house, some things that you want to do there. You may be figuring out what you need to do for your work and the objectives you have in the workplace. You may be anticipating some birthday or an anniversary or a wedding that is coming up. And all of these are good to think about and to plan for, because God has given us a mind that likes to plan and to think ahead and to anticipate the future. For us today, I would suggest that at the beginning of the year 2020, it is a good time to take an inventory of how you are doing with your walk with the Lord. And as we begin the year 2020, it seems like evangelical Christians are being marginalized. And we need to think about firming up our walk with the Lord so that we're just not carried away with what our society believes. For example, it is not acceptable to admit that you're a Christian in certain places, in certain social circumstances. it might be hard for you to explain that as a Christian, you believe in purity. And I'm not just talking about pure foods or that the drugs need to be pure that you take. I'm talking about purity of speech. You don't swear. You don't use vulgar language. You don't like dirty jokes. Why is that? Purity in how you view sexuality and marriage. Purity in your belief in the sanctity of life, even for those unborn children. All of those are difficult things in our society today. And if you raise your hand in certain places and say that you believe in certain things, you may be booed down. You may be persecuted because of what you believe. And then it may not be legally acceptable for you to live as a Christian. Some of the Bible's teachings may be considered hate speech. You may be banned if you use social media, if you say certain things. And so as Christians in our society, we need to ask ourselves some questions. We need to take an inventory of how we are doing as a Christian in spite of the place where we live. And this morning we're going to use this passage in Colossians 3 to answer four questions. Do I seek the things above? Secondly, do I set my mind on the things above? Thirdly, am I putting to death what is earthly? And lastly, am I putting on the fruit of the Spirit? And so as we begin to look at this particular question, am I seeking the things above? We read in Colossians 3 verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above. And so Paul is not saying, if you are a Christian, he is saying, since you have been raised with Christ, or because you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. That is what Paul is saying. He says, because you are a Christian, you should seek the things that are above. And Paul has already talked to the Colossians about this. He said previously in Colossians 2, if with Christ you have died to the spirit of the world, why, if you are still alive in the world, do you submit to the regulations of the world? Paul said the same thing to the Romans. He said, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And in our passage, Paul is reminding the Colossians what it means to be a Christian. On the spiritual level, he says, we have died with Christ. We were there, and as we participated in the Lord's Supper, we saw what it was like to die in Christ. And we know what the penalty of sin is. His body was broken. His blood was shed. But we also were raised with Christ, and our sins were taken away and paid for, and sin has no more power over us. Paul reminded the Romans of this fact, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. And so Paul is emphasizing in Colossians 3 verse 1 that not only did we die in Christ, but also we were raised with Christ into a new life. We were dead in our sins, but made alive to a new life in Christ Jesus. And as this new year begins, it is good to take inventory on our understanding of salvation. You were once dead to sin. You have been raised to life in Christ Jesus. That is the simplicity of the gospel. And since you are alive, we are to seek the things above. And as we look above, what do we see? Paul tells us very clearly, we see Jesus Christ. And where is Jesus Christ? He is seated at the right hand of God. And when we look above, it is not to seek secret knowledge that Jesus is somehow telling you from the right hand of God, or we're looking for some hidden messages in the stars, but we are going to seek a life that reflects heavenly realities. We are to live a life as if we were already in the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom where Jesus is the king. We are to enjoy and participate in the blessings and the privileges that are ours because we are in the kingdom of heaven. And how do I seek those things that are above? Which leads us to our second question, the second question of our assessment. Am I setting my mind on things above? We read in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And so, Paul is teaching us to use our minds. For example, you may be planning for the year 2020 to do a number of things. You may be thinking that you want to travel somewhere. You want to see something. You have some work that you want to complete in 2020. You have some events that you are going to attend in 2020. And all of these things seem earthly. But the Bible is teaching us to set our minds on things above. Am I only to think about things of God and on those things that bring glory to God? And in a way, I want to say yes. But isn't there a saying that he was so heavenly minded, he is no earthly good? And I would say, yes, there is that saying, and I think that saying is incorrect. Paul is writing that we should be heavenly minded so that you will be earthly good and bring about good on earth. And so as we take an inventory, are you a heavenly minded person as you walk with the Lord? Now, this may seem a little bit hypothetical to you, but this concept is taught throughout the Bible. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And when Paul wrote the Philippians, he said this, for many walk as enemies of the cross of Jesus, and their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, and their minds set on earthly things. But Paul continues, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that Savior going to do for us? Because we are heavenly minded. He will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so when we look to the heavens, Paul is not condemning the earth. He is just asking that our minds not be solely interested and focused on earthly things. And for the Christian, things and matters on earth are subordinate to our ultimate destiny in heaven. And we have many comforts here on earth. And we are fairly well physically, but this is nothing compared to the comfort that we will have in our final home. It'll be an extremely comfortable place. We were made to live there. And our bodies are going to be wonderful. And I know that I get sinus headaches from time to time, and I have what I call brain fog, where everything seems, well, I'm here, and so on. And when that fog lifts, I'm saying, my goodness, I didn't realize how I felt. It is going to be like you are living now in earth fog, and all of a sudden you are going to be in the clear air of heaven. You will have clarity of mind. You will be living without aches and pains. You are going to be who you were supposed to be. And Paul is reminding the Colossians that they need to look above for where they are going to be. This is something else that we need to think about. We are to live like our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Apostle John says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And so we are challenged to live our lives from a heavenly perspective by considering spiritual values. And for example, every single decision that we make, the daily walk that we have, we should consider things from both a heavenly and an earthly perspective. And so as we make plans for this coming year, we should, as part of the process, pray over our plans and bring them to God. For example, I like to make vacation plans. And so, how am I going to make vacation plans to the glory of God with a heavenly mindset? And so I have to think, God created this earth in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. So maybe my vacation plans should include some times of relaxation and rest, just as God rested on that seventh day. And God created this entire earth, and this earth is beautiful in many ways. Maybe I want to drive myself somewhere where the beauty of this earth is recognized, a very beautiful place to visit and to enjoy God's creation in. You know, people are creative. God gave us creative abilities. Maybe I want to go to a museum where I see artwork of man's creation, how they use their skills that God gave them and enjoy the artwork or enjoy the structures that they have built. There are so many ways to think about your vacation and how you're going to plan that time. And then lastly, where am I going to be on Sunday? How am I going to worship God? How am I going to separate myself for worship on that Sunday while I'm on vacation? All of those things are considerations from a heavenly mindset, and I'm sure that you can come up with many more considerations. But when we bring our plans to God, we are told that Jesus is in heaven. And when we are praying to Jesus, one of those things that Jesus is doing, sitting at the right hand of God, is that he is interceding on our behalf. And so as we are bringing our plans before God, Jesus is interceding and saying, listen, help this person in their planning. Give them the ability to plan in such a way that it glorifies me, it glorifies you. Jesus is interceding. He is able to save the uttermost to those who draw near to God. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. That's why Jesus is sitting next to God the Father. So when, during this year, remember that you are to think about things from a heavenly perspective, a heavenly mindset as you go about your daily duties. But then we have a third question. Am I putting to death those earthly things that cannot be redeemed by a heavenly mind. And Paul immediately lists five evil practices in Galatians 3, verse 5. He says, put to death these things: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Four of these evils describe various forms of sinful sexuality. And this list was given to Christians who were living in a Greek culture. But it seems like these particular sins equate to what's happening here today. Greek culture, in some ways, is much worse than our culture, and our culture is much worse than Greek culture in other ways. But in this area, Greek culture, our culture, are similar. And so Paul is saying, put these things away. God hates these things. And he hates them so much that we read in the next verse, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And so for Christians to live with a heavenly mindset, we need to realize that sins of this nature incur the wrath of God, and we need to separate ourselves from the possibility of falling into these sins. We need to not even approve of those who fall into these sins. But I know that many of you are friends with, have family members who have fallen into these sins, and we are to pray for them. We are to help them in their understanding as best possible, because we are still to love our fellow human beings, even though they have fallen into sin. And so we as Christians are to separate ourselves and keep that heavenly mindset and protect ourselves from falling into these type of sins. And then we read in Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9, about five evil behaviors. Five evil behaviors. And they are anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. And then it says, do not lie to one another. These are aggressive words. These are things that are saying, how do we talk to other people? I recently read in an advice column, Dear Abby or somebody, where a lady was asking Abby this question. She said, my 92-year-old father just went into a nursing home. And when I was a child, which must have been well over 50, 60 years ago, he was a difficult person. He had spoken to me in abuse. He verbally abused me. And now that he went into this nursing home, should I go and try and reconcile with him? Well, I don't know how dear Abby answered that question, but this poor lady had been living with the impact of abusive words for 50, 60, 70 years. And it still impacted her. In this day, it impacted her entire life and her entire relationship with a person. And these angry, wrathful words were remembered, and they impacted this lady. And when we speak to each other, we need to use speech that shows that we respect the other person, because people are made in the image of God. And we are to put off, as Paul says here, this type of language. Even when we think the other person is incredibly stupid, or even when we think that that person is being extremely self-centered, we are not to speak to them with this type of language. We are to take that thought away. We are to put off using crude language, foul language, obscene language, because that language demeans others. And it shows others what you think about them. These are evil practices. And these are evil behaviors. And people who have received these words are sometimes impacted for the rest of their lives. We as Christians should never participate in these words. And Paul tells us to put them to death and to put them away. And when the Bible talks about putting away here, it means casting them off. We are to cast off angry words. We are to flush them down the toilet. We are to grind them up in your garbage disposal. We are to throw them in the fire. They are never to be put on again. They are gone. They should be put out of sight, and we can't recover them. That is what Paul is saying. He says, put off. That is what he means. And putting off brings us to that last question. Our last question is this: am I putting on? And what are you putting on? Fruits of the Spirit. And Paul gives some examples here of what it is to put on. He says in verse 12, put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And before he tells the people to put on these things, he also talks to them about what a new self looks like. He says, put on a new self. So when we think about it, what is this new self? A new self, he says, is God's chosen people. He says a new self is God's holy people. And so when we think about putting on a new self, we have this idea, we have this thought, and just bear with me for a moment. You have seen pictures of people who live on streets, and you have seen pictures of these people, and they look scruffy, they look dirty. Their clothes are not clean. They are ripped. They're torn. Those are the kind of people that we are thinking about. And Paul is saying, when you put on your new self, it's like you are to put on new clothes. And so that scruffy person that you see living on the street, if that person is one of God's chosen people, that means that God went to that person, whether they wanted to or not, and said, I am choosing you. And he takes that person off the street and brings them into his house and cleans him up. They are washed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their sins are forgiven. They are a new person. And is that new person going to put on those same clothes that they were wearing when they were out in the street? No, they are going to be given new clothes. And Paul is saying, what kind of new clothes are you going to put on? These kind of new clothes are the ones that we read: compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness. And so God cleaned you up. God poured his love upon you. He's not just going to take you off the street and throw you in the shower and clean you up and give you some clothes and just push you out on the street again. He is going to love you. He is going to keep you in your house. You live there. That's where you are. And so think about it. Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 2, verse 6, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We are to act like Jesus. We are to walk like Jesus. And so when he brings us into his house, we want to stay near Jesus. We are going to follow him around. We want to act like Jesus. We want to do what Jesus is doing. because that's how Jesus is. He loved us. He wants us to follow him around. He wants us to be like him. And so Paul gives us those examples of what it is like to live like Jesus. For example, he said, we have compassionate hearts. People with compassionate hearts are tender-hearted towards others. Those are the people who are working with handicapped people. Those are people who minister to the sick. Those are people who take care of the elderly, even though they are failing in their capabilities. These are people who are sympathetic to the mentally ill. These are people who have caring hearts for children. They love to take care of animals. They take care of their possessions. They have compassionate hearts. It's no accident that Christians are the ones who started many hospitals over the years. Christians are the ones who've started many different charitable organizations because Christians have been given this item of clothing, compassionate hearts. And Paul says they are kind as opposed to selflessness. And just think about it. God was compassionate and he was kind to us when we were still sinners. And he took us off the street, so to speak. And he kindly cleaned us up. He was compassionate to us. And he was compassionate. He was kind. And so we are to reflect his compassion for us in how we treat others. And he uses other words here, humility as opposed to being proud and arrogant. We are to be meek in how we consider others and how we are willing to give up some of our rights. And lastly, we are to be patient and forbearing with others. These are characteristics of Christians. These are the virtues that we are to put on. But even more importantly, if you are a Christian and you're taking an inventory of yourselves even today during this time together, do other people notice that you have put on these things? Do other people notice that you are compassionate? Do other people notice that you are a tender-hearted person? Do they notice that you are kind and humble and meek? That's the important thing, is that when we put on these clothes, we want people to be able to distinguish us from those people who are wearing those filthy clothes, who are still out on the street. And so we are to think with a heavenly mind instead of a earthly mind. We need to think how we are to exhibit these virtues, this fruit of the Spirit. And so finally, in Colossians 3, verse 14, Paul says to put on love. It's kind of like the cap that we put on. The last thing we put on. And what does love do for us? Paul explains that love creates harmony. I remember when my son was young, we used to sing songs about harmony and how a Christian lives in harmony. And the harmony that love creates binds everything together. And so when Paul wrote earlier, there's not Greek and Jew, he is saying that the church is a group of people where everyone is bound together by love. And because of the love that we have for one another, we have harmony. And so the unity that we have in our church is a reflection of God's love that he has given to us. which results in harmony in the church. And so as we begin this new year, and we took a little time to take an inventory of ourselves, do we seek the things above? Do I set my mind on things above? Am I a heavenly-minded person? Am I putting to death those earthly behaviors? And am I putting on fruit of the Spirit? We could probably spend weeks and weeks talking about these things, but it is good to take a little time. But you know, these things just don't happen by themselves. God doesn't do all the work. There was an expression some time ago that said, let go, let God. Sometimes you see that as a bumper sticker on somebody's car. Let go, let God. It's kind of a nice little bumper sticker. It's totally inaccurate. Being a Christian is hard work. And Paul wrote to the Philippians these words. He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I might be fearful to say certain things in our society, but I shouldn't be fearful to be compassionate. I shouldn't be fearful to be patient. But work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you. You look to His Spirit to work within you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And in taking this assessment or this inventory should help us in our work that we do for our salvation and to become more and more like Christ. In some ways, I would like to say to you that you should follow Jesus like a puppy dog follows its owner. You want to be and be there with Jesus. You want to be like Jesus. And as we become more and more Christ-like, those clothes that we put on will be more and more noticeable to those who are around us.